Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities, all you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy
way. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the third and final Batman movie by Christopher Nolan, The Dark Knight Rises from 2012.
Yeah, we are.
So, brother Drew, this is on your list, of course, as a Nolan movie.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's on the list, because it's a Nolan movie, and it's the next one. But, yeah, and when this movie was coming out, I was really excited for it. Not only because I love The Dark Knight so much that it had quickly become one of my all-time favorite movies, but when I found out Bane was going to be the bad guy in this movie, I was really excited for a Nolan take on that, because the Nightfall storyline in the comic books when Bane breaks Batman's back was just a really great and interesting story arc. So I was excited to see how they were going to do that in this movie. And I don't know if you guys remember the trailers for this movie when it came out.
I do not.
But they were awesome. The football stadium trailer.
Yes, the football stadium trailer, I remember.
So it was that scene with Bane standing there, the little boy singing, and then you've got the Nolan like wong, wong noises. And then it just collapses in this awesome spectacle during the run back of the kickoff. And that was an awesome trailer. So yeah, I was really looking forward to this movie when it came out.
And brother Jay, you had never seen this, right?
I had never seen this before.
And okay, I had seen it on video. And the thing I remember most about it, I thought it was fine. I thought it was a nice little ending to this tale. I hadn't had any knowledge of Bane at all, but I had heard, because at this time I was listening to a lot of Doug Benson podcasts, and one thing about Doug Benson is he does a great Bane impression. He just enjoys doing the Bane impression. And so
specifically
much,
a Tom Hardy's
yes,
Bane, right?
Tom Hardy's Bane, yes. And what's funny is now actually Doug Benson does Bane in like the Lego Batman movies and stuff. I mean, he's now doing voiceover for Bane just because he had so much fun with the Bane impressions.
So it was amazing to me to have something that actually made Christian Bale's vocal effects tolerable was the terrible choice of Tom Hardy's voicing of Bane.
Yeah, we just had another one.
Yeah, we just high flinched. Sorry, it's like my brother saw a bear fall out of a tree.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah,
we're all okay.
Yep.
So
it's gonna be a long night.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
As I was saying, I didn't think there would be anything that would make me be okay with Christian Bale's vocal effects. But no, Tom Hardy's Bane voice pretty much was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Oh, that was on purpose, though.
But why?
It's incongruity.
But it was bad. It wasn't just incongruous. It was just bad.
You must admit, though, that Bale's Batman voice was pretty bad in this movie, too. He really leaned on it.
Again, in comparison, no problem. I was fine with it. As annoying as it was in the last two movies, Not a problem. You know why? Because in contrast, it was fine. Don't get me wrong. I like Tom Hardy. And I actually, you know, spoiler, actually liked this movie. I thought it was a decent movie.
Yeah, so. let's just get to it. So Brother Jason's Here, the newbie. Do you liked it?
I did. I mean, there were some parts that I was like, nah. But for the most part, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it moved. It kept me interested.
Which is amazing for a 2 hour and 45 minute movie.
It kept me interested. Like I said, there was a couple of rough spots where I rolled my eyes, but that's pretty normal for me. I mean, let's be honest. But for the most part, I was unable to guess the next parts. The only thing that I easily guessed very early on was the appearance of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I just instantly am like, oh, he's going to be Robin.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, I didn't see that coming the first time, and I was like, aw. And I thought, eh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, Drew, now you're the Batman expert, or at least of the family. You're the Batman connoisseur. What did you think of this in comparison to the other two movies?
I don't like this movie.
Really?
I really don't.
So let's talk.
Well, I saw it in the theater, and as I said, I was super hyped up for it. And I came out of it really underwhelmed, and I was really optimistic that maybe with some time, I haven't seen it since. I've had no desire to watch it again. So I thought maybe with some time and some perspective and, you know, not having such the high expectations of coming right off The Dark Knight, I thought maybe I would have a better time of it this time, but I found watching this movie to be such a joyless experience. I mean, it was fine. It is so long and it's so bleak, and I know what they're trying to do with Bane, but every time he spoke, I loved it. It made me laugh, but I don't think that was the intended reaction. But yeah, I mean, it's a Batman movie. There's very little Batman in this movie. I understand the theme of it, and I appreciate that they were continuing a through line through all the movies. The consequences of the end of the last movie had dire results for this entire movie. And that's fine. Talia al Ghul, I love her character in the comic books. She's kind of a dud in this. There were actually lots of clues about who she really was throughout the movie. So the reveal at the end, I didn't think had much impact. But yeah, I thought it was so long. It actually kind of felt like a Stephen King story to me. The buildup was so long, and there were like lots of interesting pieces here or there. But then by the time all the shit's coming together, it's like, oh, it's we've got 11 minutes.
Well, and also, you know, Bane for such a high, like Bane was in the movie way more than Batman was, and he mm-hmm. had the most unceremonious death.
Yeah, he did, and they didn't figure out a way to make him interesting with that mask.
Exactly.
You know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to emote through the mask, and I guess that's what they're trying to do with the weird voice. Oh, before I forget this thought, I will say, I did love the appearance of Scarecrow in this movie.
Yes, I did too.
It's my favorite part. Maybe one of my favorite parts of any of the three movies was seeing him pop up again.
Well, and he had such a juicy little cameo anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, I'm going to make an admission here. I liked Anne Hathaway in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought she was great.
She was good. Yeah, you're right. She's one of those actresses that I never want to like, but
exactly.
She usually ends up doing a really good job.
She was, like, sexy enough to be Catwoman and kind of, you know, kind of a badass, but not, like, gonna happen again. Son of a
biscuit. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm waiting for mom to call.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really liked Anne Hathaway in the movie. I thought she was great. I thought she was the best of the three Bat, like the equivalent of the Bond girls.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah. This Aftershock stuff is for the fucking birds, let me tell you.
Oh, I imagine it probably traumatizes the kids more than anything.
Yeah, actually, here's another thing that the school district did, which I thought was really good. The school district sent out a note saying, hey, we're checking everything, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then Journey's teacher sent out, like, in addition to that, on the little app that they use to communicate, saying, hey, besides this, here's this little handout that we got that I kind of modified for something we got on for teachers to talk to your kids about, as far as here's what happens after an emergency like this. Here's some of the things think about, that, like, behaviors that might happen, you know, like they might be extra irritable and they may be like not willing to sleep, and they may have like headaches and other physical symptoms, and they're also just not going to feel very secure. So kind of keep that in mind. Plus, they changed. She says, you know, so we only have 3 days next week. They cleared Monday and Tuesday. But she said, we're not going to have any spelling words next week. We're going to focus a little bit more on things like reading for pleasure and life skills. Because, you know, after an event like this, you want to, you know, focus on things like community. And so spelling is important, but we can take care of each other in the 3 days next week.
Also helps to redirect that nervous energy.
Exactly. Of which there is going to be some.
Yeah. I had to go check in because my daughter was calling me, and my wife just told me that I didn't hear her at first, but she started calling me right after that jolt. And when I didn't answer right away, she turned to my wife and said, maybe he didn't make it.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Kids are hilarious. A coworker of mine has a daughter that's 5, and she and Journey have done some stuff together, social stuff. So she posted today that her daughter was very concerned about the salami warnings. It's pretty funny, which I thought was great. Except, of course, my daughter was telling me all about, because, you know, she's now 9, so she gets to be, you know, she's something of a know-it-all, but not in an offensive way to me, at least yet. It's cute that she, like, but she was telling me how the atomic plates, like, like scrape against each other. Like, you're so close, you know. She's on the
choir. That would also be terrifying. Yes.
She's also in the choir, and I know she didn't do this on purpose, but when she was singing, practicing her, you know, Deck the Halls, I swear she said, don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la, tolling the Asian Yuletide carol. I said, oh, no, it's not Asian, honey, it's ancient. It's like, yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, okay, well, be careful. Out of the mouths of babes. Or, kids say the funniest thing, Jell-O pudding. Okay, so back to your disappointment over Dark Knight Rises. By the way,
I was just going to say, to Drew's point of Talia, I had no idea. I didn't see it coming at all, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, the biggest clue is that they have sex. And,
oh, you know,
Batman doesn't have very many lady friends. One of them is Talia al Ghul, who he has a son with.
Yeah. Oh, seeing, it never occurred to me. I didn't tie any of that together.
Yeah, see, I didn't have that knowledge either, although I think you reminded me of it at one point. But I don't care about the whole Al Ghul family.
Nah.
Don't care. And I can understand how it's a big part of the lore since they're in-laws and everything now. But, like, I didn't like Ra's al Ghul, and I thought this was the second best of the three movies. Now, obviously, the second one was head and shoulders above this movie. But I thought this was more fun than Batman Begins.
It was very bleak, though. It was apocalyptic.
Oh, it was super bleak. But this whole storyline, though, this three-movie arc is bleak. It's about Batman being the hero that he doesn't want to be, that the city needs, but it's like at his own... Sorry, I'm lost for words here.
It's to his own detriment.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be this guy. So, okay, so you, Drew, have seen the Ben Affleck Batman. And uh-huh. I had the benefit of seeing this movie the same week that I saw the movie Logan, which
So now I've
seen two old man superhero movies. How does old man Ben Affleck Batman compare to old man Christian Bale?
He's pretty good. I mean, the movies that he's Batman in are terrible, but he's pretty good. He's a passable Bruce Wayne. The style that they have for Batman, like the action, is actually quite enjoyable. So yeah, I'm not mad at his Batman at all. He tends to be the best part of the movies he's in, which is a low bar because the movies are really terrible.
Are they as bleak from the Batman angle as these movies are?
In a, sort of, but like in a really immature way.
Ah.
It sort of feels like the Lego Batman version of Gritty.
But the, you know, I think I might enjoy the Lego Batman better than all the rest of the Batman.
Well, yeah, but that's tongue in cheek. Like the Zack Snyder DC Universe movies are just they feel so soulless.
Mm. So, Brother Drew, do you have Brother Jay, do you have other thoughts on The Dark Knight Rises? Which, by the way, I think we agreed on before, it was a stupid name for this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't even make sense.
No. Well, it kind of does when he, you know, he rises from the tower.
If all he did was rise, that'd be fine, but he rose and then fell.
Oh, also, as someone who, in between the times I saw this movie, went through a rather severe back injury followed by surgery, the magic rope really offended me.
Yeah.
I think at one point I was, it made me, I had pause in this movie because Christian Bale kind of made me think that perhaps he was almost a Benedict Cumberbatch wannabe, a little bit. I wrote down that Bane's voice was just an awful choice. And I don't know if it was encouraged to be that way or if it was just Tom Hardy's own creation. I will choose that he was directed to be that way. But at least he didn't have any pouty lips because you couldn't see the pouty lips. So that's fine. But then the one thing that really struck false to me was, so Batman goes to see Commissioner Gordon when he's in the hospital and he wears a ski mask as disguise. Are you kidding? Give me a break. That really, I was just, but then I made the observation, Batman is a technology whore. So.
Oh yeah.
All right. It was interesting to watch this movie because it seemed like this movie was almost in three parts. There was almost three different movies. So I think this could have easily been broken up into two movies easily. And I think they could have probably done better in servicing the story. But all in all, I mean, like I said, I was entertained and followed it. And I didn't hate it. I liked it, actually. I mean, it's not the greatest for sure, but I actually enjoyed it. And I wasn't able to skip to the end. The most uncomfortable, terrible part of this movie was watching. I was just so uncomfortable watching Michael Caine crying. It was so awkward.
Oh, yeah. This movie was so bleak. The last thing I needed was for Bruce and Alfred to break up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you like the ending where Alfred has his Hannibal sighting of Bruce and Selina in Paris or whatever? In France someplace. Spain, something.
Honestly, I didn't care at that point. I just didn't care. I was more invested
Florence Italy.
Yeah, I was more invested in the Robin reveal and having Blake find the Batcave. That actually got me excited. I would want to watch that movie. Like if I think the rumors were that they were going to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt Nightwing.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been really interesting.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I was excited about at the end of the movie.
So was there a plan for Nolan to have another one?
I don't think so.
Because to me, this movie feels unfinished. It feels like there was another movie coming.
Well, this movie suffered from the death of Heath Ledger.
Oh, yes. That's true.
Because the Joker is supposed to be part of this third chapter, right?
Yes. Yeah, they had to strongly pivot.
And they actually thought about casting Leonardo DiCaprio as the Riddler, but they decided to zigzag because the Joker, it would be too much comparison.
Yeah.
And you don't want to end up being like the Jim Carrey Joker, Riddler.
I think one of the things that really bothered me about this movie is it was set up to give me a movie that I think would have been really interesting and that would be the return of Batman to Gotham to like lead a guerrilla style insurgence, like a rebellion. But that's not what happened. I mean, he shows up at the very last minute to get rid of the bomb, essentially, and that's it.
Yeah.
Have a couple more fistfights.
Yeah.
After breaking his back.
The whole third act, I thought, was pretty weak. Uh-huh. And I thought...
And rushed.
That, yeah. And I like the scene of, you know, Dexter's sister Deb's partner on the bridge, blowing the bridge, not letting the kids go across. I thought that was great.
Yeah. It took me so long to figure out where he was from.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, he used to be a bad guy. Then he was a decent guy, and we didn't know. I don't know. I liked it. I had fun watching this movie. I'd even recommend it. I just don't think it's definitely not as good as the second one, but I think you needed an ending that was, I don't know. It tells a certain story, but I thought it was a little, yeah, I thought maybe Stephen King's comparison was spot on, because it really does feel like, let's just wrap it up in about 5 minutes after we've told a 2-hour and 40-minute story up to this point.
Yeah, and I really did like the setup. I like the concept of kind of this broken down old man who doesn't want to be Batman anymore. And, you know, he has abused his body so much, and they're actually showing the effects of that.
Hey, how fun is it that Thomas Lennon, the doctor in Memento, gets to be a doctor for Batman, too?
Yeah, it's always fun to see him. Yeah, the setup was so interesting. I didn't really care about all the financial shenanigans.
No.
But Bane was really set up to be a terrifying villain. And the fight where he beats Batman to a pulp and breaks his back, I thought was really great. I mean, like, anxiety producing.
Yeah, well, and I like that whole thing of oh, you use the dark as a weapon, but this is where I live. Like, yeah. I was born here, so you can't use this against me.
Yeah, Bane had all the best lines.
Yeah.
For sure. But he just had the weird voice, which there's no way that was on set, right? He had to have recorded that later.
You think?
There's no way. There's no way he could make that sound through that mask.
Well, on you're probably set. Right, yes. Like the Eric alarm clock.
I was just gonna say, I can decode that. Hang on.
So what about his wacky coat? I like the choice of having the brown leather jacket.
I loved everything about the way he looked.
I didn't understand. I like apparently in the comics, like his mask is supposed to feed him some sort of medicine because he's in constant pain or something. That was never mentioned in the movie, right?
He's sort of. It was mentioned that the prisoners in the pit prison beat him up so badly, and the doctor screwed him up that he was in constant pain. And the mask kept the pain at bay. But when he showed up in the comic books, it was during the era where there were a lot of bad guys who were abusing steroids. So the reason he had the mask is because he had this drug injection, like, backpack system. That's where he had a bunch of tubes, like, going all over his body. So he would inject himself with, like, a super steroid.
Apparently, the coat was based on a Swedish army jacket and a frock coat from the French Revolution.
I loved everything about it. I loved the way he just kind of hung his hands on his lapels as he's walking around.
Oh, yeah.
The courtroom. And he's like, I have no jurisdiction here. I thought he had the most charisma of anybody in the entire movie. Bane.
He did, definitely.
Yeah,
he sure did. If it weren't for that voice, this would have been an awesome Bane movie.
Uh-huh. I even like the James Bond opening with the plane.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty. It's totally a James Bond move. The whole plane sequence, but yeah, still good, interesting. I don't know. I was pretty good. I enjoyed it. So, Brother Jay, if you were to give this a rating, what would you give it?
So, wait, do you realize we haven't actually described the plot at all?
Do we care?
Probably not.
I mean, we could if you want.
Bad guys do some bad guy stuff.
Yeah, Batman. So from the last movie, Batman has been in retirement because he is actually on the run because he killed hero Harvey Dent, who the public believes is a hero for stopping all the corruption. And he took the fall. Batman took the fall for killing Harvey Dent that nobody knew was Two-Face. And Commissioner Gordon has a speech where he could have dropped the dime on the real Dent, but decides not to. Blah, blah, blah. Selina Kyle, Catwoman, blah, blah, blah. Bane, supervillain, ruins Bruce Wayne, first financially and then physically. And then we have Marianne Cotillard, who plays like a some sort of member of the board of Wayne Enterprises that ends up taking over Wayne Enterprises after the shenanigans caused by Bane. Turns out, surprise, she's Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul's daughter, who had met Bane because they were in the same prison. Blah, blah, blah. Batman gets his back broken. JGL, after killing himself in the future, becomes Robin. It's a pretty complicated thing. And they save the world at the end. Well, not the world. They save Gotham at the end.
Yeah, that poor body of water, though.
There's going to be some remediation needed.
Lots of radioactive fish are going to be washing up for years.
You can't eat Gotham sushi.
Nope.
Well, for years, though, neutron decays pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Radiation will stick around for a while, no matter what. Yeah. I mean, it's a magic fusion device anyway.
True.
You boiling your water, by the way?
We boiled our water about 75% of the time.
Oh, excellent. We're like sort of drinking bottled products and stuff that we already had around 75% of the time. Feeling pretty cocky until the beaver fever hits. Or worse.
Nah, it's just Giardia. Yeah.
Jason never gets beaver fever.
Anyway.
Are you sure?
So.
Pretty sure you're immune to beaver fever.
Never know.
We're not going to talk about fevers.
Maybe I'm adventurous.
We're not going to talk about yellow fever. We're not going to talk about jungle fever.
Yellow fever.
We're going to keep away from all the fever talk.
That was a nice Bloodhound Gang reference. Thank Very you. Good.
We're not going to talk to Dr. Johnny Fever. We're not going to talk about disco fever. We're not going to talk about how super producer Bruce Dickinson, not the lead singer from Iron Maiden, but instead the Christopher Walken super producer, has a fever and the only cure is more cowbell. Instead, we're going to have Spoiler J to render judgment on Batman, The Dark Knight Fall Rises and Falls and stuff.
Thanks for the handoff. Yeah. I would give this movie probably a solid B. It was a B movie for me. I mean, I think it was doing too much. I liked it as a whole, but I think it should have been probably at least two movies. So that way they could have had a little bit different types of development into the story, but it's a B.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
Oh, this is a tough one. I think at the end of the day, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in it. It's a well-crafted movie, but it's so unpleasant to sit through, I think. It just doesn't have any of the fun or joy that I want out of a Batman movie. And it's really disappointing.
In the pantheon of Christopher Nolan movies, what do you think?
I think this is my least favorite Christopher Nolan movie that I've seen.
I think I've already been pretty clear on my views. I thought it was fine. I think a B movie is about right. I enjoyed it. Not going to watch it anytime soon.
Where do you guys rank it in the list of Christopher Nolan movies that we've seen so far?
Oh, you're right. I don't think it... Well, no, you know what? I didn't like Batman Begins. So I think it's at least the second worst.
I could have sworn when we did the podcast, you said you did like Batman Begins.
I think I appreciated it more, okay. But it still wasn't as fun as this movie. I thought there was plenty of fun moments, partly because of the Selina Kyle character. And because of this little things like Scarecrow and Thomas Lennon and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm having a much better time talking about it than I did watching it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's how I felt about Batman Begins, actually.
Yeah, that's tough. What about you, Jason?
I think it's hard to rank because I've never. This is probably going to rank on the lower end of the scale for the Nolan films. It's definitely not middle or high, but I think it's better than Batman Begins. I think it's pretty hard to it's pretty hard for me to pick them apart because to me they're pretty distinctively different movies. Even though they're all Nolan films, they're pretty different.
Sure, but okay. So to tick off the things, it's not as good as Memento. It's not as good as Dark Knight. It's not as good as Inception.
How about The Prestige?
It's not as good as Prestige. I mean, that's a movie that snuck up and I liked a lot.
I agree with all that. I'm still thinking about Inception. I really enjoyed that movie again, watching it again.
Yeah, I might want to watch it again. Although it turns out I've got a lot on my plate, movie-wise.
It's only 3 hours long.
Well, exactly, yeah.
It's fine. You can shoehorn that in, no problem.
No, I'm about to do to you what I did to Jason a couple weeks ago by just adding on another whole movie to our movie next week.
That's okay. I did that to you last time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
I started The Endless, and my first thought was, is the other movie he's going to tack on to the end of this Primer?
No, no. Nope.
You don't like, I'm only like 15 minutes into
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, it has elements of that to it. I could definitely see you not liking The Endless for the same reason Jason didn't like Primer.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Yeah, way to sell him.
Yeah, wait till you get to the other movie. But I can't talk to you about the other movie until you're done with The Endless.
Okay.
Okay, are we up for housekeeping? Because I have a housekeeping that has nothing to do with today's events.
I do, too.
I do, too.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, so we had lasagna for Thanksgiving, which is good. I mean, it's was easiest, and that's always a good thing. But Kelly got a turkey from her work. So the next day, we spatchcocked a turkey. If you've never spatchcocked a turkey, it is the best. In fact, I can totally see where you could do two of them in the same oven if you wanted.
Yeah, because you splay it all out.
Yeah, and so it looks a little obscene, but it was great, and it was tasty, and it took like an hour and 20 minutes instead of like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I highly recommend spatchcocking a turkey. Also, it's fun to say.
I was going to say, linguistically, you adore it.
Yeah, but I could totally see spatchcocking a chicken, too. Just do that in a cast iron pan if you want it.
Just ask Galton Brown.
Yeah.
I got one of my birthday presents today. It showed up in the mail, so... Oh, I forget. I'm using this camera.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
This is the best thing ever.
It doesn't chew up your pants? What? Now, I realize we have not discussed what this is, but I'd be worried about chewing up my pants.
How would it chew up my pants?
Like if it rubs in the inside of your pocket and all of a sudden you realize... Oh,
the
it's
teeth.
All smooth.
The teeth, if the teeth get in there.
Franks and beans. No, it's all smooth edge. We're talking about the Ridge wallet with the strap, not the money clip, with the strap.
Okay, Ridge strap.
So I have the same model, but with the clip, and Eric, I think that is probably, that could, I think, chew up your pants if you're sitting on it a lot, because it's pretty inflexible.
Well, I don't put stuff in my back pocket. I put a wallet in my front pocket, and I went from a money clip that had like a clip and a little pouch for cards to a... I don't know, let me be a little more robust, like money clip that had like a leather wallet attached to it or whatever. And then I went to what is now my current favorite thing, and it's silly. Every time I open it, it makes me smile like I'm a dork. But I went to the nylon Velcro wallet trifold. Because you know what? It won't chew up my pants, and it'll hold everything I need, and it's not super thick. It's no thicker than yours.
And it makes that satisfying noise every time you need to get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Does it match the kangaroo's shoes that you bought?
Exactly, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And the Ridge is pricey, but, man, it feels so nice, and it's sturdy, and...
It is pleasing to hold in my hand.
Yes.
I imagine that's going to get taken out of context. But
at least you hold your hand, it might rip up your pants.
But not all of my stuff fit in it because, like, my pharmacy license is too big because it's laminated. My car insurance card's too big. So I'll adapt, of course, but just little things like that. But for the most part, like, I always have it in my front pocket. I'm, as anyone who knows me, I'm sure is not surprised, pretty OCD about how I handle things. So the money clip's always in my front right pocket and car keys are always in my front left pocket. So, and my cell phones, if they're in my pants, because I have two cell phones, one for work and one for home, my personal cell phone left rear pocket, my work cell phone rear, you know, my left right or my right rear pocket. So, that way I always know, like, I can tell just like, oh, butt cheek phones there, flex, money clip, keys.
Yeah, when I wear cargo shorts, my my top front left pocket is it's a Sonderco knife and a thing of dental floss.
But also, side note, I guess the shop called Dad to let him know his Starliner was okay.
Good. That's good. That's quality service that you want to know.
So anyway, but a couple other things. I did listen. Was it you, Eric, that talked about the podcast Bagman?
Yes.
So I'm through the end of that now, up to date.
Have you heard Bagmander?
I have not.
It's awesome. It's Rachel Maddow talking about Spiro Agnew, and it's only eight episodes, maybe, or seven episodes.
I think so.
Through six now, but yeah. The parallels are so interesting.
It's kind of frightening, but also, boy, what an awful shithead he was.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I knew he was.
I didn't know anything about him. Yeah, yeah. It turns out Spiro Agnew is an amazing guy.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how did this happen? Anyway, so thanks for that. Then because I was looking for other podcasts, I got pulled into a true crime podcast and I was, thank God it was only eight episodes. And I'm like, I can't listen to this. It's too bleak. I gotta move to something else that isn't quite this bleak. So what podcast do I start listening to? The podcast for the show, The Americans.
That's fine.
So I've been listening to that, just kind of, it's an interesting perspective because it's this, I think they're a married couple, but I'm not sure because they've made pains to kind of make things obscure and mysterious.
Because they're spies.
Yeah. So we've been listening to that and that's been kind of fun because I'm reliving the episodes and now I kind of want to go back and watch again. But interesting of note, I found out that in 2013, Matthew Rhys and Carrie Russell became a couple and had a child together.
Mm-hmm. That chemistry was real, yo.
That was crazy. It was mind-altering to find that out. So that was just a fun little thing.
So what's the name of your Americans podcast? I'm really hoping for something clever.
No, it's not clever. I mean, it's Watching the Americans.
Huh. Okay, that's not really clever. Not clever, yeah.
Well, I was trying to be charitable because I don't want to knock on another podcast. So,
no, you said it was good.
It's good. It's fun. It's fun for me because, you know, they make some points about the episodes that perhaps I hadn't seen. So,
unlike our podcast, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. Their podcast actually has a name that matches what they're doing.
I found out about a podcast that's going through the S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes one by one.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, that was all the housekeeping I have up to date. I will be there in theory this time next week.
Sweet.
Provided the airport runways are intact and
you'll be fine.
The planes are flying and yeah, so.
Apparently, it was rocking and rolling in the air traffic control tower at Anchorage International today.
Did you
that
hear
that? Suck.
Did you hear the air traffic controller?
I did not. Do they have the audio?
There's audio the recording.
National news, yeah.
Because he was clearly in distress when he told the planes go around, like he's screaming on the open mic. Like,
oh, that's not a good look.
I understand. If I were in the top of that tower. I would not want to be there either. So,
but even the ones that remain calm were still like, you're on your own now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, your job is to say, we have a situation. We need you to go around, and you're on your own and you're out. It's like that whole thing is like, you have to be the voice of reason no matter what's going on inside or whatever. A little bit like being a dad. Like, somebody kill the gigantic spider. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm somebody.
to be the responsible one.
Like, again, I could easily be that guy being like, units 1024 on Channel North, we're leaving. Evacuating. Code 3 to the station. No.
Stay in the air where it's safe.
So, Brother Drew, you have housekeeping, you said?
Yeah, I got two quick stories. One is, so the Friday after Thanksgiving, so my wife, speaking of natural disasters, my wife, she's not the natural disaster.
I was going to say.
she, wow. I know, that was a bad segue.
Bad segue, yeah.
Right before Thanksgiving, she got pretty much a cold call from a client in New York, who she has not worked for before, seeking help for like some construction type activities, disaster relief down in Saipan. Apparently, there was a big typhoon that just destroyed a lot of the infrastructure down there. And
it's hard to say Saipan typhoon, by the way. I think James Bond drove a 67 Saipan typhoon.
It gets better. I think the name of the typhoon, the name of the typhoon in Saipan was U2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So okay. The Saipan typhoon U2, they need like a construction company to go in and do a bunch of prep work before FEMA gets there to do a lot of the rebuilding. So I contacted her, and of course, since she's a consultant, she never says no. So they were asking her if she could get people on the ground and start work in December. She's like, okay. When in December? And they're like, early. which meant she actually mobilized people on Thanksgiving to start flying to Saipan from Alaska.
Wow.
What that meant was they don't have a contract in place, so she had to work all weekend to get a proposal ready that they could submit by Monday. So the Friday after Thanksgiving, she went into work, and so unexpectedly, it was me in charge of the two kids trying to figure out what to do. And that was fine. That was fun. We did some fun stuff. But what ended up happening was, my children have been really into watching the show called The Kids Baking Championship.
Mm.
And so they keep wanting to make stuff in the kitchen, which ends up being a disaster. And my wife indulges their creativity in ways that I don't, which means she lets them have fun and make a mess. And I don't. When I'm around and they ask me if they can play Kids Baking Championship, I would say, yes, pretend.
Good for
but,
you.
But, you know, they actually want to get out ingredients. So they wanted to do this while my wife was at work. And, you know, they're kind of bummed that they were expecting to spend the day with both of us and she had to go to work. And they're kind of bummed. So this time I was like, okay, yes, fine. The house is, the kitchen's relatively clean. I guess, you know. I was like, okay, I always say no. I won't say no this time. So they had these ideas. They wanted to make cakes. My oldest one wanted to make a chocolate mint cake, and my younger one wanted to make a strawberry banana cake. They wanted to make everything from scratch, and I was like, okay, no. No. Mm. We can go to the store. We can get some cake mixes. So I was like, we'll get you a chocolate cake mix. We'll get you a strawberry cake mix. That'll be nice and easy. You can make those cakes, and then we can get creative and figure out some ways to make your mint or your banana frosting.
Huh.
So went to the store and we got ingredients. And I was trying to say yes as much as possible, even though it was contrary to everything that was screaming inside my soul. You know, like my oldest was like, I want sprinkles. I want fresh mint leaves. And I'm like, oh, this, okay. Sure. And we get home and, you know, they're having fun. I'm trying to let them do as much as they possibly can. We've got the hand mixer out. We've got a stand mixer out. They're both making their own cake batter and getting it in the ovens. My older one did two rounds and my younger one did one big rectangle. And they put them in the oven, and then we started making their frosting. By the way, my oldest daughter made this peppermint buttercream frosting, which was awesome.
Excellent.
But so they get the cakes out, and they're kind of still working on the frosting. So I asked my younger one if she'd be okay if I was the one that turned her cake out onto the cooling rack. And she's like, no, I want to do it. But, you know, we've got all the stuff on the island in our kitchen. So I had the cooling rack on our dining room table. So she walked out there with, you know, holding the hot pan and her hot pads. And it's a little high for her, but she's trying to get it up there. And in getting it up there, it slipped out of her hand. And the entire cake fell and, like, crumbled into chunks on the carpet. Like, not even in the kitchen on the table, on the carpet. It was now carpet cake.
Another thing Jason never gets a craving for.
Yes, it's true.
Only if the carpets don't match the drapes.
She had the saddest face I've ever seen on a child. It was like, it wasn't even like she was gonna like cry and sob. It was just like, it looked like her little heart was broken. And like her eyes were just kind of getting watery, but she wasn't crying.
Lower lip quivering?
No, but like her whole face just like dropped.
Oh.
I could see the despair on her face.
Write the date so down. Because at her first therapist appointment, this is the origin.
Oh no, let's see what comes next.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I yelled at her that she's worthless or anything. Those are the kind of scars that stick with you. But luckily, my oldest daughter was so nice. She told her that she could have one of her rounds so she could still do her frosting. And they ended up making each their own little round cakes. And they ended up having a good time. But man, just seeing that look on her face was
brutal. What a great story, though, at the end of it. Sisterly love and helping out. And
So what I hear is that You felt that devastatingly terrible despair of being unable to fix it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And knowing exactly why she was upset. I mean, I could totally relate, but
yeah, and knowing exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know,
with and her, resisting like, saying I told you so.
Well, no, what was worse was, you know, my wife, she had come home at this point. And she heard the commotion, and she came out, and, you know, my youngest one's not talking, and my wife just sees the cake on the carpet, and, like, she, like, just, like, scoops her up and starts comforting her, and my oldest one comes out, and she's like, what happened? What happened? What'd you do?
Of course.
And, of course, I don't want to be like, I didn't do anything. It's your sister. I was like, I tried to be, like, very neutral. I was like, the cake slipped and it fell, and Emma's really sad about it. And then my wife starts giving me the look like, why weren't you more careful?
Of course, like, yeah. Like, why did you let a 5-year-old turn out a cake on my cake?
No. She didn't even go that far. Oh. The look she was giving me was like, why weren't you more careful when you were doing that?
Yes.
You dropped your daughter's cake? How could you?
That's right.
And you know, I can't defend myself.
No, you like, can't.
I had nothing to do with this. It was all her. She wouldn't listen to me. But, yeah.
Who's the adult?
Yeah, but you know, it's, you know, we've been married for what, 18 years now, so all this was like nonverbal. But it was later.
In the meantime, your older child is making the sign saying a storm is coming.
Exactly. Yeah. But later, she like was giving me the hairy eyeball. I was like, she's like, the way she phrased it nicely, it was like, what happened? Which boy, I know exactly what that means.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, at that point, I was like feeling like so defensive. I like had to like hold my shit together so I didn't explode. You know, like a good Anderson who bottles up his emotions.
Yes.
We don't have any experience with that.
Yeah. And so I had to actually restrain myself and be very calm and say and explain that it was a very sad situation, but I actually was not the one who dumped the cake on the carpet and ruined our daughter's life. It was not me. It's not what happened. Thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry I said that.
Oh, yes.
That was the fun drama on the day after Thanksgiving. The other story I have for you, unless you think we're running too long, is a helicopter story.
Oh, no. Tell us a helicopter story.
I think everybody who's been listening for any amount of time knows I hate helicopters. I hate riding in helicopters. It's never fun. It's never in good weather. And I had to go out this week on Wednesday, and it was not great weather. So I went down to Kenai. I was trying to fly out to a couple platforms. Just a sneak preview, we didn't make it to two platforms. We only made it to one. We got down there, and the first thing that we found out is that we were on a weather hold. It was too windy, too snowy, too low visibility to fly. In fact, the helicopter was stuck out on one of the platforms. This is something that I had never heard of before. Usually, if the weather's bad, the helicopter doesn't fly. Yeah, it doesn't land on a platform. This was very concerning to me that some sort of crazy, crazy weather system rolled in while, because these helicopters do not stay on platforms long. They never power down. People and cargo go off, people and cargo go on, and it leaves.
Because there's no hangar on the platform, right? I mean, the single most impressive feature of a platform is it's a platform.
Yes. Yeah, so it was bonkers to me to begin with. It was even stuck out there. So we had to wait for a while, and finally the weather cleared up, and they made a couple runs, and then when it was time for us to hop on, we got in our flight suits and everything, which are pains in the asses. And then we're sitting there, and they tell us that the helicopter is actually down now for a mechanical reason. There were a couple alarms that didn't pass their pre-flight checklist, so they were going to check them out. This was like the first of eight consecutive, it's going to be about another 15-minute messages we got. So I sat for about 2 hours in this very hot flight suit waiting to fly on a helicopter in bad weather that I didn't want to fly in to begin with. It was taking so long.
At this moment, do you play from your playlist called Stevie Ray Vaughan Classics?
I do not.
Or perhaps, you know, the greatest hits of Buddy Holly.
Your Randy Rhoads guitar solo collection.
Uh-huh. I try not to think about any of that.
Okay.
But it got better because I didn't follow everything they told me, but what I gathered was something like this. There is an alarm that they have for the rear baggage compartment that signals to them if there's a fire in the rear baggage compartment. And that alarm was not functioning properly. So they didn't want to fly unless they could get it fixed or they could get a mechanic to sign off on it. So they couldn't get it fixed, but they did get a mechanic to sign off on it as long as they didn't stow any baggage in the rear baggage compartment, which I guess was fine. Everybody seemed happy with that, except when they were loading us, they told us, So the types of helicopters we fly on have two sets of seats, one face forward and one face backward. So there's like five seats in the back facing the front, and then five seats in the front facing the rear, or four in the front facing the rear. So if you have a full helicopter, it's pretty cramped, and you have to like zipper your legs, you know, with the people facing you. It's that cramped. But if it's not a full helicopter, you know, people tend to spread out so that they're not, you know, hugging the person that they don't know sitting right next to them. But as they're loading us, they said, oh, yeah, everybody, you all have to cram in the back row because since there's no baggage in back, there's no counterbalance. So you are the counterbalance. And at first, I thought, okay, yeah, that sounds fine. But then I started to think about how we're making like a milk run. So we're going to a bunch of different platforms, and which means people are going to be hopping off one or two at a time as we go and make trips. Which means if we need all these people in the back to counterbalance, we're going to be losing them, like jettisoning ballast. So that was freaking me out. Like, wait, maybe this doesn't seem like a good idea. No. But I was like, okay, this is fine. It's going to be fine, right? It's always going to be fine. But then we started taking off, and maybe this is just me being like super sensitive at this point, but just the action and how long it was taking the pilots to actually achieve flight. Like, oh, we'd hover off the ground a little bit, and it would kind of move around in ways that made me feel really uncomfortable. And then they would kind of adjust, but we stood there hovering. It seemed like he was trying to get his bearings and get a feel for how the helicopter was balanced before we took off, which didn't, I mean, I'm glad. If that's what he was doing, I'm glad he was doing it, but it did not make me feel very confident. Similarly, when we were landing on the first platform, he was doing the same thing where he got really close to the helideck, but he wouldn't land. It was super windy too. So like he'd kind of adjust, and then we'd go down a little bit and there'd be a huge gust of wind, and then he'd kind of hover a little bit and make more adjustments. And so I was starting to get really panicky because not only do I not like helicopters to begin with, but now I'm like crammed into this really claustrophobic situation, like in the middle of a bunch of people. And you know, we're all just really sardined together. And we won't land, and it's super windy. And I'm starting to think like, we are like 2 feet above the helideck, and we're going to crash and die. And it's going to be so stupid, like 2 feet from landing, and we're all going to die. Skipping ahead a little bit. We didn't, we're fine. But, we eventually landed, and I was the like one or two guys got off on the first stop, and I was on the second stop. So we got out of there. We got out of there pretty quickly. but we ended up getting done at the platform, the work we needed to get done mostly, and coming back. And the flight back was much better. It was less windy, but it just reminded me. I really hate helicopters. They're terrible.
Well, thank you for doing what you do, because I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do it either. I did not have high job satisfaction that day.
I've unfortunately never been in a helicopter.
Me either.
I would like to, but...
I'm good.
No, they're weird.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, whatever, but yeah, I think I'm fine.
They're weird, but don't forget, I've jumped off the stratosphere, so...
That's true.
Weird is relative to me.
Yeah.
Well, not jumping on the stratosphere either. Fuck, I can't make weight anyway. It wouldn't matter. So. Okay, well, thank you guys for...
Well, thank you guys. I mean, you guys had it more rough than me.
Oh, no, this is... For me, this is great, even though... I'll have to shove this in front of the Dark Knight podcast because I think I'm going to hang on to JFK for February.
That's fine.
and then I'll do this next one. But I like having the little upfront so we can. I may put out the upfront by itself, actually.
That's fine too.
The earthquake update.
Because I already posted it on the Facebook page. So
I know. I appreciate that. Thank you. And I did get people reached out, so that was nice.
Yeah. No, it was a.
Thank you guys again for moving from last night.
Oh, not a problem.
No, of course.
That was actually related to the Saipan thing. They're 20 hours ahead. So Jennifer submitted.
Okay, where is Saipan?
Down by like Guam.
Oh, okay. So it's an American territory or something?
Yes. Yeah. She submitted her proposal on Monday, and then they've been negotiating since then. Because what they have money for and the cost of what they want done aren't agreeing.
Sure.
So they're trying to figure out what to do. So Jennifer's been like burning the midnight oil all week. And last night she submitted it like at 6 p.m. and they're 20 hours ahead. So they're looking at it and came home and thought she was done. And then they called her at like 7:30 and said, no, we need to negotiate this tonight and correct some stuff. So she actually had to hop on the computer and get on the phone with them. So that's why I couldn't record last night. So I appreciate you guys being flexible.
Of course.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you two, not in a creepy way.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you two, not in a creepy way. Hey!